well you deliver that message has more lifelong impact than anyone wants to admit. Your kids can look back and say, was mom and dad there for me or not? Do they really care? Your mental game informs their own mental game in life and how they feel about themselves. How you decide to show up in life impacts a whole lot more than just you. Number five, determination. Determination is what's going to fuel everything. It's going to keep you doing the hard work and choosing a path to success. It's going to keep you consistent when you don't feel like being consistent. It's going to push you through and around the obstacles when you feel like there's no way forward. On the road to victory and all your wins, there's going to be one upset after another. It's going to be hard. And you'll never make it if you don't accept that and bring a whole lot of perseverance and persistence. To be determined is to be committed to your best self, your dreams, and the expression of life. Enough that you will not throw in the towel. You will not give up. If you choose a life of work, impact, and success, it will be an unending gauntlet of tests and trials. You will not prevail without determination, people. With determination, you can look back and say, oh, shit. You know what? I did it my way. And in doing it my way, I achieved things I never dreamed or imagined that I would be able to. And I also failed, and I did do some things. And I went back, and I redid them. I redid them, and I did them because I never gave up. All right. So where does durable sense of determination come from? Well, determination is about the appreciation of your individual journey. The respect and admiration that you have for your grind, your will, your effort, your blood, sweat, and tears is what creates determination. Because it all ultimately comes down to you living your life for you. The end game is being able to look in the mirror and say, I'm proud of myself. Let me tell you something. If you value yourself enough and the gifts that you have to offer, then your resources for determination will become a bottomless well. Determination is everything. I got to get it. I got to get it. If it's there to be gotten, then I got to get it. I'm determined to get it. Determination is about fire. Determination is about that will and want. It's a will and want to get what you want. I love that word. I love the definition behind it. And I love to see people who have it. I love to see that competitive fire. Some people have it in life. Some people have it in athletics. Some people have it in thumb wrestling. I don't fucking know. It's something that you either have or you don't. And if you don't, it's something that you can learn to have. I didn't have it out the gate. I can be honest with you. I did not have it out the gate. I did not have it when I was forced to swim. I did not have it when I was in middle school or high school. It was something that was developed. I didn't have it out the gate. But when I got it, I fell in love with it. Because nothing stood in between me and my goal. Nothing or no one stood in between me and my goal. Because of determination. We can all get it. So if you don't have it today, means that you can't have it tomorrow. Determination. Let's keep it going. Number six. This is a good one. Cowboying up. At times, this one can be the hardest thing to do. Let me tell you something about cowboying up. Cowboying up means taking ownership. It's sitting tall in your saddle and not only taking responsibility for your words and actions, but for everything in your life. It's laying in the bed that you and life at large have made and being okay with it. Transformation starts there, with cowboying up, with ownership. You can't change shit if you don't own it first. The trouble is, so many people run around avoiding things their entire lives. It's just too uncomfortable for them to look into the mirror at the roughest and darkest parts of themselves. Or they're terrified of spending 5 seconds looking bad and saying, you know what? I fucked up. This is on me. I didn't do this, or I didn't think about that, and so this happened. But here's what I'm going to do to help, and here's what I'm going to do next time. And you take any consequences on the chin. You show to them because you know nothing can make you buckle. What people don't realize is that discomfort is temporary. What comes after that discomfort is an immense sense of power and freedom that comes from having been able to do something about it, to be able to replace things that aren't working with things that will. Very few people want to admit that they're carrying some bullshit and don't see everything clearly. They're so damn committed to being right about everything, including what other people mean when they say and do certain things. When you apply ownership to your life, you see that it takes two to tango. Any fight and misunderstanding is co-created. They're never one-sided. People love to tell each other, you are out of your goddamn mind. Why are you acting like such an asshole? I'm sitting here minding my own business. I didn't do anything to you, and here you come attacking me for no good reason. I'm right. You're wrong. I know that game well. But now when conflicts arise, or shit goes sideways, instead of attacking someone by saying, you did this to me, I do my best to cowboy up. I go, hold on a minute. How did I behave that helped create this situation? What information needs or boundaries did I not communicate that caused this misunderstanding? What could I have done differently that would have created a better outcome? You have to take responsibility for your bullshit. Your shit is your shit. Own up to it. It came out your butt. Your shit ain't nobody else's shit. Your shit got a specific smell for you. That is your shit. It isn't going to change or go anywhere until you do. It will keep affecting your life and holding you back until you decide to recognize it, admit to it, and correct it. And let me tell you this. Your greatest strides in evolving your psychology, your circumstances, and your health of your relationships will directly follow the times where you take ownership. Beyond their actions day to day, people also don't want to take responsibility for their lives on a whole. They want to act like they're not the only person who can change their situation. Think about that. You are the only person who can change a goddamn thing about your life. Until you stop wishing things were different, accept the way they are, and take up the sole responsibility of doing something about it, nothing will change. Nothing will change. Leaders take ownership. Champions take ownership. People are inspired to follow other people who take ownership. It earns respect. Ownership shows strength and humanity. When you take ownership of something, the subtext you're really delivering is, hey, I'm not perfect, and I'll never pretend to be. But I care about my integrity and my relationships enough to admit when I'm wrong and make it better. I'm not going to lie. And I'm strong enough to handle any repercussions. I acknowledge my sovereign power to decide, and I will never surrender that. Now try and tell me that that's somebody that you wouldn't trust or want by your side in battle. I remember Tom Brady. Tom Brady played in the football game, and he played horrible. Threw a bunch of interceptions, fumbled. It was just not Tom Brady-ish. Tom Brady did the post-game interview, and they asked him a question, and Tom simply said, today's loss is on me. Not my teammates, but me. It's my job to lead us. It's my job to go out there and put us in position to win football games, and I didn't do that today. I failed my team, and I must do better. I will do better. That's cowboying the fuck up. Michael Jordan played in the game and had a fucking flu when he played in the game. I forgot who the Bulls were playing. It was like when they were in the finals or some shit. It was either the playoff series before the finals or the finals. But he played the game. They got the W. Michael almost fucking passed out. Goddamn at the end of the game. And Michael never brought up the flu in a post-game fucking interview. He cowboyed the fuck up and got out there and played the game. Win or lose, he was willing to take the repercussions that came with it. You take the fucking chance. You take responsibility. Your flaws are your flaws. Addressing them means that you're okay with them. Cowboying the fuck up. I got caught cheating. I cowboyed the fuck up. I did. I'm wrong. I apologize. I gotta do better. That's what cowboying up is the fuck about. Laying in a bed of mess that you made for yourself and being okay with that because you know that you are capable of changing. You're capable of doing better. That's the good that comes from cowboying up. Number 7, teddy bearing. You're probably furrowing your brows right now, thinking to yourself, Teddy Bearing? What in the hell are you talking about, Kevin? Here's the thing. Teddy bears are all about comfort, safety, and affection. They have high levels of likability. They make people feel good. So Teddy Bearing just means being likable, personable, and pleasant. I just figured it'd get your attention more than any of those other words would. Look, life is all about relationships. It doesn't just help you on your path to success, but I will talk about that in a second. It's what brings you fulfillment in all the moments along the way. Feeling good and making those around you feel good is one of the quickest ways to bring happiness and harmony to your life. It feeds back into your positive mindset to expand and strengthen it even further. Teddy Bearing is the outward social expression of your positive mindset. It does something to your heart. It does something to the hearts of other people. It's the best thing I ever do for my soul. There's something healing and deeply fulfilling about it. Don't confuse this as acting strategically to get people to like you, because that's fake. And it's a fool's game. You can't control that. Plus, that would be you manipulating people from a place of insecurity. This is an externally motivated behavior and is not done from a strong, confident position. That's not mental strength. That's throwing away your power and lowering yourself to playing pathetic social games. Teddy Bearing is an expression of your unshakability and unmessablewithness. It comes from your core of knowing you are solid, valuable, and in control. Here's the thing about likability. Oprah Winfrey once said something that was so good, which is, not everybody is going to like you. Not everybody is going to like you. And it's okay. Everybody's not going to believe in you and think your dreams can come true. And it's okay. Everybody is not going to want to make time for you or enjoy your company. And it's okay. She was basically just saying, give yourself permission to be you and let go of the anxiety that comes from the impossible pursuit of being liked by everyone. It's so liberating. So when I'm talking about likability, I'm not saying the goal is to be liked. That's external. You can't control whether or not people like you. And sure as hell, don't want to worry about it. I'm saying be likable. That's internal. It's something unconditional, radiating outward from within. One is weak, while the other is strong. People with the weak reality need to be influenced by the outside. People with a good, strong self-image are influenced from the inside and immune to external opinions. I know people that stay up late reading every tweet and YouTube comment about them, or every review in blogs and newspapers. They give themselves nightmares and lose sleep for weeks. Why the fuck would you do that? Why? Why would you subject yourself to the faceless, heartless, vicious hatred and negativity on the internet? Why? It's not even about you. It's just what people like to do online. But they read all this shit because they care so much about what people think. They care about how they're received and whether or not the public thinks they're good enough. They're not even living their lives for themselves. This is what I'm talking about. The higher you climb and the more attention you start to get, the more you need to master your mental in order to survive. If people don't like you, it's not the end of the world. And if everyone did like you, then some people are still going to get jealous of that and want to tear you down. So it's going to happen either way. But no matter what they say, remember, it's not about you. The negativity and nastiness coming out of people's mouths tells you more about them than yourself. But you can't be fazed. You can't be riled. Your cool can't be fucked with. Be the teddy bear. Now, it just so happens that when you radiate positivity, life showers you with good people and opportunities. It's not because of some quantum, mechanical, the secret of manifestation shit. It's because the good energy of positivity is so rarely felt in this world that when people come across you, it feels like an oasis in a desert. They're just drawn to you. They want to affiliate with you and help and support you. That's not your main motivation, but it's a phenomenal side effect. At any given moment, you can step outside yourself and ask, what energy am I giving off right now? How am I treating other people? How are other people receiving me? Am I giving and grateful to my environment? Or am I taking and negative? Am I letting other people's negativity get the best of me? Am I bringing the teddy bearness? Re-engage your positive mindset, make a new choice, and watch life respond. Number 8, dissatisfaction. This one is easy to misunderstand. I'm already telling you to stop complaining, accept what is, and be grateful. And now, here I am saying, don't be satisfied with what you have. But that's not it. This kind of dissatisfaction isn't coming from a place of being ungrateful or being unhappy with the way things are, or never feeling good enough. This kind of dissatisfaction is coming from a place of being okay with what is, and then saying, okay, cool, this is good, but you know, I think I can still do better. I really think that we can make this better. It's a healthy desire to keep seeing what you're capable of, to continuously grow, develop, and increase your capacity and improve your life and environment. Everything in nature is in a state of growth or decay. It's part of the life cycle. Things are either generating on their way in or they're on their way out. There's nothing wrong with either. It's all a part of it. But you have to decide which state you want to be in. If you're not living in a state of growth, then you're acting like you're on your way out and your emotions will follow suit. You might have already noticed that happen when you're living your life from the place of stagnation. It doesn't feel good. It's like a river. You are meant to be continuously moving and flowing, sometimes very slowly, sometimes very rapidly. If you want to keep growing, expanding, and improving, then you'll need a little hint of dissatisfaction in the back of your mind. If you're not just a little dissatisfied, you'll never push past your familiar limits and do bigger and better things. Again, there's a big difference between being dissatisfied because you're curious about what more you can do and being dissatisfied because deep down you feel like you're not good enough and nothing you ever do will be either. It's not that what you do isn't good enough. It is you are. It's just that you love the feeling of getting even better over time. It's addicting. It breeds happiness. Living with a little dissatisfaction engages the circuitry in our brains that's wired to reward us for seeking novelty and moving forward. Every time you try something that's a little more challenging or something different and you succeed, your brain dumps out a bunch of chemicals, like dopamine, that makes you feel pleasure. The same thing happens when you come or you eat your favorite food. When people stop moving in life, they stop getting these internal hits of feel-good chemicals. They have to start relying on other ways to artificially stimulate them, like video games, booze, smoking weed, watching porn, and Kevin Hart specials on Netflix. We get addicted to these things in a desperate attempt to compensate for the fact that we're not really living our lives. Dissatisfaction keeps you at your edge, and that's where you feel most alive. We as people should really understand and identify with the thought, feeling, or understanding of, am I truly applying myself 100%? Can I do more? That's an honest question to ask yourself. Instead of getting up at 9 a.m., can you get up at 7? Instead of studying for an hour, can you study for 2? Instead of practicing twice a week, can I practice 4 times? Dissatisfaction is always asking yourself, can I do more? And 9 times out of 10, the answer to that question is always going to be yes. But it's hard to do more, because people are satisfied with not doing more. It's hard to want to do more. But if you want to run the mental marathon, you do. Happiness is knowing that you can do more. Happiness is knowing that you haven't reached your limit, that you're capable of more. That's happiness. If you're done, that's not happiness. You can be happy knowing that you haven't reached your full potential yet because there's so much more to give. That is happiness. If you're done, that's death. An example of dissatisfaction that I can give you, of course, comes from a personal story. You know, the movie business has been growing for me and my opportunities have just, they've gotten bigger and they've gotten better. And there was a moment that I had where I could have worked with another big actor and we could have done a movie together, but I felt like that movie wasn't an example of progression. I felt like me doing that movie would have been me standing still and being content with this level of success and not really challenging myself in this stage in my career. So I chose to say no to the movie and I chose to look for the next step up. I chose to look for the movie that would act as an example of growth for me and my career. And the movie that I ended up taking instead was The Upside. The Upside was a different movie and it put me around a different group of actors and actresses where I had no choice but to step up to the occasion. I had to not only come in prepared, but I had to come in with a different tone. I had to come in and not be the version of myself that I've been in everything else. I had to come in and be ready to be directed and be ready to be grounded. And in return, I wanted to deliver a great performance so that everybody can see, wow, you know what? This guy's got talent. This guy's capable of doing more of this. Because that's what I know I got in myself. I know that I see so much more from myself in this space of acting. But if I don't make it happen, then it may not ever happen. So I chose to find the movie that would be the best for me at that time. I chose to not be satisfied with the offering that came in at the moment. I chose to grow. That choice ended up being the right one. The movie ended up being successful. It showed me in a dramatic space and that I can. So now I can play on that and elevate even more. Because guess what? I'm not satisfied with that moment. I would love to still do more. And I would love to progress because I always ask myself, can I do more? So the same questions that I'm asking you to ask yourself are questions that I ask myself. Point blank. Keep going. Number 9, non-reactivity. This one is more crucial now than ever. We live in an outrage culture. People love to get angry about shit and try to make other people join them in their outrage. Your outrage often means more clicks, which means more likes or more money for them. The world is constantly trying to get a rise out of you and spark a negative reaction. With so much going on and so much stimulation, the stuff that gets attention has to get more and more ridiculous to stand out from the sea of noise. As a result, people learn from this unconsciously. And the way they start to talk gets equally more and more ridiculous. Non-reactivity is remaining at the eye of the storm. You are the calm, still emptiness amongst the chaos. You, my young grasshopper, are the gap between stimulus and response. When you react, you've just flipped the switch on an unintentional and unconscious course of action, emotion, or thinking. When you do this, you lose your cool, which means losing the power that comes from being able to perceive, think clearly, and respond intentionally. People are always asking me, how can you walk around acting like nothing fazes you? How do you stay cool? I can act like nothing fazes me because on the inside, I'm not letting it faze me. The surprises of life are going to keep raining down whether I like it or not. Other people are going to keep operating from inside their own reality and mental game. None of that means a goddamn thing about my own. Non-reactivity keeps you centered and control and on track. Point blank. People spew negativity for a reaction. That's the only reason behind it. They're looking for a reaction. If you give that, then you fed into it. When you're non-reactive to it, then the point of attack has no return. Be non-reactive. Fuck you, Kevin Hart. You're not funny. Sorry. I can't stand your fucking movies. I apologize. You ain't tall. You're short ass. Sorry. Look at your fucking hands. You got some ugly ass hands. I apologize. Fuck you, man. You're right. Look at your goddamn face. Ugly ass. Sorry. I know those are kids' clothes. You're right. I don't care. I'm non-reactive. You got nothing. You got nothing unless I give you something. And that's not just me. That's all of us. Nobody has nothing on you unless you give it to them. Your emotions, your response, your anger, those are all things controlled by you. When you're non-reactive, people are wasting their time fucking with you. They're wasting their time. I love to snap. I love to tease and make fun of my friends. That's what we do. We're all comedians. We joke on each other. They got a big thing. We all tease, we all joke on each other, right? One of my friends got a funny thing where he says, that's not going to hurt my feelings. But no matter what you say, he goes, that's not going to hurt my feelings. And it's the funniest shit in the world because he's playing, he's being silly, but there's a real meaning behind it. No matter what we say, he goes, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Basically saying that he's intact no matter what. I'm going to be good. I know you ain't going to wear that dumbass shirt outside. You're not going to hurt my feelings. This is the shirt that I chose today and I'm going to wear it. Nothing you say is going to hurt me. That's the best. That's the best response to anything. Practice it. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Non-reactivity. These are all fucking key tools. Key tools. Gems. Chicken nuggets. Golden crisp chicken nuggets. And gems dropping out my butt. Let's keep it moving. Number 10. Self-generating power. To truly succeed, you have to be your own power source. Waiting for energy and motivation from the outside is a loser strategy. In this game, when you break down, you can't sit on the side of the road waiting for a tow truck to get you somewhere. You must be your own tow truck. For most people, motivation is temporary. It's something that they occasionally get from the outside. They start a workout plan for a week and then they drop it. They buy a domain for their blog and it sits unused. But to bring consistent enthusiasm and action every day is a choice you have to make for yourself. A long time ago, I realized there's no magic current that takes you places in life. I had to propel myself even through those times where I felt like sitting dead in the water, where I wished I didn't have to keep paddling and something else could just take over for a while. Self-powership means being a self-starter. It's the ability to pour energy and grit out of yourself at will and decide to keep putting in the work. That's self-powership. That's strong. Self-generating power. I ran a goddamn marathon, New York Marathon. I'm not sure if you guys noticed or not, but in mile fucking 20, it felt like somebody shot me in the back of both of my calf muscles. They call it the wall. My body shut down. First of all, my dumbass ran in some long tights and a long sleeve shirt because I like to be warm when I run. What I did was sweat like nobody's fucking business. The more you sweat, the more that your body is fucking propelling out, is putting out. So I had nothing in. Everything I had in was coming out. So when I cramped up, it was like nobody's fucking business. I couldn't walk. I couldn't move. Mile 20. I'm fucking cramped up. Swear on everything. I said to my running partner, fuck this shit. I'm about to tell him, get a goddamn golf cart and meet us at the next stop. I ain't doing this. That's what I'm saying in my head. I didn't say it out loud. There was too many people around watching. I said, God damn it, Kevin. You done ran 20 miles. You ran 20 fucking miles. You've been training for this marathon for months. And now you done cramped up like you've never cramped up before. And you ready to stop and be okay with knowing that you didn't finish. That's not acceptable. Kevin, that's not fucking acceptable. You ain't out here running for a gold medal. You're not out here racing nobody. You out here doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I challenged myself to do a marathon, and the first shot I get at it, I get hit with an unexpected batch of fuck cramps, and I'm ready to quit. I finished my last 6.2 miles with the ugliest running form that you can possibly imagine. It was a run slash limp slash walk slash run hop. That's what it was. I would get an occasional burst where the cramp would go, and the minute I would start running, that shit would start up again. They had places where you could stop and get biofreeze, rub it all on your leg. I was bathing in biofreeze, drinking buckets of fucking Gatorade and water, trying to do whatever I could to put something in my body so I could finish. I pushed through. At about 3 miles, my body had then become numb to the cramps and I was able to start running again. I finished my fucking marathon. I finished it because I powered my way through it by myself. By myself, using self-generating power, use my own energy source, my own energy bank to get me through the thing that I told myself I would do. It was nobody else's journey but mine. Say nobody else's fight but mine. I used my energy. And it probably was the best feeling I've ever had in my life, knowing how I got through it, knowing what I endured, knowing what I pushed through. Self-power shit. We all got it. My suggestion is for you to tap into yours. You know, I don't give a damn who you hire. I don't give a damn who works for you. You have to understand that it still is you. You know, you hire a manager, you hire an agent, and some people expect those people to do all the work for you. It all still comes back to you. It boils down to you and what you're willing to do. I got everybody you can name. I got a team of fucking 15 to 20. And all those people serve a valuable purpose. But guess what? If I don't match the energy of their work ethic, then they're wasting their time. If I'm not willing to go and do the things that I'm supposed to do, then I'm wasting their time. Filming a movie is one thing. Promoting and marketing a movie is another. There's some actors and actresses that despise marketing a movie, but expect the results of a box office success. There's some actors and actresses that don't want to do promo at all. And then a movie goes out and it fails, and they look at the studio and go, why did y'all fuck this movie up? The side of work was missed when it came to the marketing. Work still has to be done regardless of the people that you put around you. Because anything that you do, you got to be proud of. You got to be happy with your effort. You got to know that you did it 100%. You got to know that you put 100% into it. I'm not comfortable with blaming my team. I'm not comfortable with blaming my managers or blaming my goddamn agents. I'm not comfortable with that. I'm just not. I blame myself the same way I give myself credit. That's what I do. That's what I love. That's about it. Number 11, sponginess. You want to get ahead and continuously improve beyond where you're at? Well, get spongy. Readily soak up knowledge from people around you and those who are better at what you're trying to do. An insatiable curiosity about the thought process and execution strategies of other successful people will serve you endlessly. You can't know how to do everything. You just can't. And what you think you know about anything is massively incomplete. Stepping inside the minds of other people starts to fill the chasms in your own understanding and gives you completely new ways of approaching things that you would never have conceived of in your entire life. In fact, you couldn't, because it had to have been generated inside another brain with a radically different set of wiring. I guarantee you, if it weren't for this skill, I wouldn't be where I am today. It was learning from people smarter than me, who had some shit figured out and already made their own mistakes, that put me in a position to succeed. I'm just here trying to return the favor. I can go to the advice that has been given from so many. I wouldn't understand the importance of trying to build a brand and become a brand if it weren't for people like Oprah, Tyler Perry, Jay-Z, Beyonce, Rihanna. I wouldn't get it. I wouldn't understand it. You gotta listen. You can't be afraid to learn. Be a sponge and soak up information. I wouldn't know that I can do comedy outside the country if I didn't listen to Chris Rock, if I didn't hear the things that he said and told me about how comedy is global. Don't just do comedy for one place and one group of people. There's a world out there that you should be making laugh. Be global, Kevin. Be universal. I wouldn't know to promote movies outside the fucking country if it weren't for Will Smith and Tom Cruise. They promoted movies like nobody's business all over the world. They embraced their fans all over the world. That's why they became global successes. So when you look at Dwayne and Rock Johnson and you look at myself, we go fucking everywhere when it comes to promoting a movie. Because we're following the blueprint that was given, and we understand the importance of showing your fans that you love them too. You show that by getting your ass on a plane and traveling 18 hours to go give a red carpet event and to go speak and to go shake hands and say hello. It goes a long way. I wouldn't know that if I weren't a sponge. I wouldn't know that if I didn't soak up that information when it was given. I wouldn't know the importance of relationships in this business if I didn't listen to the people that felt like they fucked up relationships and that's why they can't work today. I wouldn't know the importance of treating everyone good. Be good to everybody. Because you never know who you're going to see on your way down. When you're on your way up, that's just one-sided. Every elevator comes down. You want people to be there for you and help you if and when you're on your way down. So while you're on your way up, treat everybody with fucking respect. That's information. I was being spongy when it was given. Be spongy, people. You don't know everything. you don't know everything. The smartest person in the room never says they're the smartest person in the room. The smartest person in the room lets everybody talk and they listen so they can get even smarter. The smartest person in the room is the spongiest. Facts. Number 12, relatability. Use your sponginess to breed another important quality, which is relatability. When people get more committed to their path, their obsessive tunnel vision can turn them into a silo, separating themselves from other people. Everything becomes about what they're doing, and they close their mind to the other parts of life and people. Soaking up knowledge from different people in different fields not only makes you a more well-rounded and creative thinker, but it allows you to relate with more people as you move through life, which in turn encourages more personal growth. It allows you to become more socially agile and able to calibrate to any room. Being able to carry conversations and make connections with a greater range of people opens up doors to ideas and opportunities you wouldn't otherwise have if you stayed narrow-minded. Number 13, eye on the priziness. The world around you is constantly trying to influence you and tell you what's important, what you want, what you need, who you are, and what you can and can't do. It will constantly dangle carrots and tinsel in your field of view, trying to distract you from your path so it can get a little piece of your time and money. That's the nature of the game. Sometimes those distractions are coming from the inside of your own head. You're trying to throw yourself off because a part of you wants to avoid the hard work and discomfort that it's about to take to make the right decision. Take the next step and get to the next level. Don't listen. Don't look. Keep your eyes on the prize. What is the prize? Well, that's for you to decide. You can't keep your eyes on something that you haven't defined. And that's one of the biggest problems for most people is that they don't know what they're after. Or that they're chasing after someone else's prize without an authentic hunger in their belly for it. You can't summon the self-powership and determination necessary to push yourself down the path if you don't know what the path is leading toward and feel a burning drive to get there. And you can't make the hard decisions in life if you don't have perspective on the bigger picture of where you're going to help guide your thinking. You can get thrown so far off track because you're getting pulled into opportunities and people that take you away from where it is you want to go. When your eyes are on the prize, you can think, Will what's in front of me right now help me move toward the prize and be the person I want to be and build something that will help me do that later? Or is this getting in the way and throwing me off course or compromising on being my best? Nobody can define your prize but you. Only you know what it is that you want to achieve and how you want to feel. At some points, we'll try out other people's prizes, and that's fine. It's only natural. We think, that looks good. Damn, maybe they figured it out. They're getting attention. You know what? They seem to be happy. Maybe that will make me happy too. And 99 times out of 100, we come to realize at some point or another that it's not. But one of the quickest ways to get closer to learning what you authentically want is through the contrast of experiencing what you don't want and what doesn't work. It's a process of trial and error. But there are no shortcuts. Sometimes you're possessed by an idea of what your prize could be, and you'll never know if it's the one until you start moving toward it or once you have it in your hands and you feel nothing inside. One of the biggest things that takes people's eyes off their prize is comparison because people aren't solid in themselves and don't have their head right. They're constantly looking around wondering, how do I look? Do they think I'm cool? Do they like where I'm headed? Is it going to get me laid? What are they doing? Shit, maybe that's what I should be doing too. As I move through life, I'm not comparing myself to what else is going on or who else is doing what, when and how. I'm only comparing myself to me. And for me to feel good about myself makes me feel like I can do anything I want to do because only I know what I'm truly capable of. So I'm keeping my eyes on my prize. I'm not looking around me worried about what other people think about or how people are getting after theirs. The other thing that takes their eyes off the prize is wasting my time staring at the obstacles in my way. All that does is slow you down, have you thinking about the problems, rather than focusing on the prize on the other side. Where you look is where you're going to go. When I say eyes on the priziness, understand that you got to be talking about your prize. It's not about somebody else's priziness. It's about your prize. My eyes have never left my prize. Never. Because the moment that you take your eyes and you apply your eyes to something else, that means that you have now went off road. You're on to something else. I truly believe in staying on course. And I believe that while you're on course, things can happen. Roadblocks can be thrown. Obstacles occur. It's your job to weave, jump, roll, swerve. Because your eyes are on the prize. Nothing should take your eyes off of that. And my prize, it's just grown. It was once just getting on stage. And then it became bigger. It became getting to a bigger stage. It became getting a bigger audience. It became getting an audition. It became getting a TV show. It became getting a movie. That prize just grew. Hence the word priziness. Priziness is a lot of prizes in one. So keep your eyes on the priziness. Let's keep it going. I want to go to number 14. Number 14 is a good one. This is put up witness. These words will be in a dictionary after this goddamn book's come out. These words will be in a dictionary after this book comes out. I'm meeting with Webster as we speak. Put up witness. It's a Kevin Hart word. And I'm going to explain it to you. Listen to me. If you're going to go any kind of distance and take on a pursuit of unleashing everything you've got, then you're going to have Well, you're going to have to put up with a lot of things. It's that simple. Without the capacity for put up witness, you're going to fold at the first sign of inevitable adversity or give up when the results were just a little further around the corner. Without patience, you also won't be able to withstand the amount of times it's really going to take to realize your vision. Nothing will happen overnight, even if it looks like it did. It always took months and years of work leading up to that moment to put anybody in the position for something to happen. It takes time for plans to come together. It takes time for trees to bear fruit and for the results to show up. It takes time to pivot on even stronger footing with each try. Your ability to succeed in making accomplishments and realizing your goals is directly dependent on your ability to put up with adversity and time. There's a reason why champions are champions. There's a way the legends are made. I truly understand that. I truly do. It's because these are people who are willing to do what the majority of the world is not willing to do. Legends and champions are willing to put up with more discomfort than other people. They're willing to sacrifice so much more to get what they want. And sometimes that sacrifice is simply coming from within. You're always sacrificing a high level of fun and a high level of comfort. Are you willing to put up with the discomfort in order to be great? I am. I have been. And I still will be. Because I'm not great yet. Nor am I comfortable. I won't allow myself to feel comfortable. Because when you feel comfortable, you relax. When you relax, you get lazy. And when you get lazy, life passes you by. A life of greatness is like a boxing match with unlimited rounds. It's one test after another of your technique, timing, mental sharpness, and your stamina. For some people, the trouble of looking at life like an endless boxing match is they see it as an exhausting punishment. They'd rather throw in the towel than put in the effort. Fuck that. Fuck. That. If you're stuck thinking like that, about how you have to keep putting up with so much friction and hardship still to come, flip the frame like this. This is what I want you to do. It's not even about putting up with discomfort. It's about refusing to put up with comfort. That was deep. That's what I do after I say something that was so deep that it shocked me. I'm going to say it again. It's not even about putting up with discomfort. It's about refusing to put up with comfort. I refuse to allow mediocrity. I refuse to put up with anything less than my best. So anything that I have to withstand in pursuit of my best isn't even a task. It's the obvious choice. When the alternative is dying with the regret of knowing I wasted my life and my potential, slap some motherfucking Vaseline on my face and get me back in, coach. Because I ain't done fighting. You better put that towel in your back pocket. Because I don't want no goddamn towel thrown in. There's nothing on this earth more terrifying to me than just that. Than to know I threw in the fucking towel. To know I quit. Oh, how sad. Oh, the disappointment that I would have on me. I would look in the mirror and point to me every day and go, you disgust me. You fucking quitter. Throwing the towel like a bitch. I ain't no bitch. I am not a bitch. When it comes to my life, I'm saying, and now if you're a big person and you try to fight me, that's a different thing. We're talking about motivation and inspiration, okay? Don't confuse the two, Mr. Strongman that's waiting to approach me. I don't want no problems with you, sir. You keep your hands to yourself before I call the police on you. You will go to jail. It's either put up with this and deciding to stay in the ring, or it's quitting and sitting for the rest of your life with the knowledge that you gave up on yourself. See, you got to understand put up with this. Because there's certain stuff that you just got to put up with. Put up with this is a talent. It's a talent. I've had to showcase this talent a lot. You know, every time I bring a new person on and I add someone to my team or to my company, there's a level of put up with this that has to be displayed. This person may not know how to do or what to do, or they may not fit in the beginning. So you're the one that has to shape, mold, and fix. So you got to put up with whatever the BS is or may be before it gets to the perfect place. I don't even want to use the word perfect because nothing's perfect. Before it gets to the place that makes you happy. Me and my guys, there's a high level of put up with this that I have to put on display with them. Because we're friends, and when you mix friendship with business, sometimes those lines get blurred. So I got to be patient, and I got to have a high level of put-up-withness with the problems that occur. Nothing's easy. You got to understand that. Nothing is easy. And when you understand that and you realize that, you're able to move and maneuver better. Plain and simple. I wish that I could lie and tell you that I didn't have to use a high level of put-up-withness, but I do. You just do. Another example of put-up-withness with me is the minute that you think that you've done something right, there's always somebody that thinks you did something wrong. I remember I brought all my friends' cars after I tour. It was a gift. I got them all old-school cars. You would think that would be the best day in the world. But then there was one friend that was like, man, I mean, this is cool, but I wish you would have just gave me the money. Huh? I had to put up with the fact that this was an ungrateful goddamn comment. And I had to simply say, oh, man, I'm sorry. Next time I'll try to ask you before I surprise you. I had other people that worked for me say, are we getting cars too? No. But I can't say that. I had to put on my put-up-withness. I had to use my put-up-witness face and simply say, no, nobody else is getting cars. That was just for the guys on tour. I had to have a high level of put-up-witness to not get upset about this particular conversation. Put-up-witness, once again, is a talent. It comes in different ways, shapes, sizes, disguises. You just got to be equipped to do it. I'm equipped. I'm now equipped. Haven't always been, but I am now. My put-up-withness game is strong. Get your game strong, too. If you love the game, well, that means that you love the fight. And if you love the fight, then you love the constant triumph over your own mind. You got to beat yourself. That's who you're boxing. You're going 12 rounds with yourself. So whenever you feel your mind leaning to the direction of giving up, you got to go get your mind back in the corner, give your mind some water, throw some ice on your face, make sure you shake your arms off, and say, go in there and give me one more round. And in that next round, you better throw haymakers and you better knock that motherfucker out. Of course, I'm talking about whatever the obstacle is that's in front of you that's forbidding you from moving forward in life. You got to knock that motherfucker out. For example, I hated history. I couldn't stand history when I was in school. I thought it was a bunch of useless information. The reason why is because I live in North Philadelphia. North Philadelphia. What the fuck? What? Why do I need to learn history? I'm around a bunch of abandoned fucking houses and abandoned apartment buildings. I got a couple local Chinese stores and liquor stores on the corner. There's a McDonald's three blocks down. There's a KFC not that far. Popeyes was a longer walk. Couple public schools. What the fuck do I need to know about history? Ain't shit historic about where I live. Killing here, killing there. We lucky to make it out. That's all I felt like I needed to know because that's all I was around. Holy shit, but then we cut to Kevin Hart now. Kevin Hart now realizes that the lessons that he was given back then are valuable. Because as much as I travel, the most interesting thing about it is attaching these destinations to historic understanding. The education that I once overlooked is now embraced. I embrace knowing. I embrace it because that education gets passed down. Because I was able to go and I was able to see. I didn't know that this was coming. I didn't see this as young Kev. Young Kev didn't see the future of old Kev. So sometimes you can't be negative simply because you don't know. Instead, embrace. Embrace and understand. And be patient so you can see the importance of the value that could be in your future. I'm only giving you gems from experience. These are nuggets. As this book goes on, you'll see that I give nuggets. Little nuggets drop out my butt. Information nuggets. I suggest you pick them up as I goddamn let them out. Because that was a nugget. I think this is a good book so far. I really just said that to myself. Like, as I'm saying this stuff, I had a moment of realization to myself of going, Kevin, you're doing a really good job. You know what that is? That's me being mindful of what I'm doing and me not being afraid to congratulate myself, to motivate myself to keep going. If this was a boxing match, this could be round 8. I could be tired. My voice could be getting sore. But you know what I just did? I just gave myself a little pep talk that made me want to keep going. I just gave myself a little put up with this. Y'all don't hear me though. We're going to keep it going. Number 15 is a good one. Number 15 is humility. See, on our journey forward, one thing that we have to realize is success can be a drug. It can take a hold of you and turn you into a junkie. Doing things you don't want to do, being a person you don't want to be. And I'm talking about the hard stuff. I ain't talking about the cool drugs. I ain't talking about weed. I'm talking about that shit you can't bounce back from. Smack. Heroin. What's that shit these young kids are putting in their butt? They're doing a bunch of stupid shit today. It can be worse than that. And message to y'all, stop putting shit in your ass. When did this start happening? Generation is so fucked up, man. God damn. Putting drugs in your ass and chugging beer in your butt. What the fuck? Save the kids. See, when it comes to getting wealth or the spotlight, a lot of people want it. But honestly, very few can handle it. Very few can maintain their sense of self-insanity. Is it because of the feelings that come with it? Is it because of the finances that come with it? Is it because of the pressure that comes with it? Is it because of the change of individual? These are real questions I'm asking you. Is it? You know what I would say? I would say all of the above. Which is why the most important thing in the world is humility. See, you got to stay connected to what really matters. Which is how you feel about yourself and your immediate surroundings. Other people's opinions of you, positive or negative, they don't mean shit. And what you have doesn't mean shit either. If it's about putting on a show, and if it's not based in what makes you feel happy and whole, it don't fucking matter. No matter what you achieve and accomplish, you're not better than anyone else. No matter what you achieve and accomplish, you're not better than anyone else. You do what you do because you want to do it. I should put that on a t-shirt. You do what you do because you want to do it. Y'all not listening. See, when you stay humble, it's hard to lose yourself in the things that don't matter or the things that feed the ego. It's harder to get lost or be taken for a ride by people and opportunities that want to exploit you in exchange for petty things like attention. I'm going to give an example of humility. See, sometimes you don't know to be humble until you get put in a position where you see that not being humble really makes you look disgusting. I've had moments where I wasn't humble. I've learned from those moments. I've had moments where I wanted to be the guy. where I wanted to walk in the room and everybody said, oh my God, there's the guy. And then when you are that guy, you try to do the shit that you think the guy should do. But then you realize, fuck, I'm not even being myself. I'm not even being close to who I really am. Right now, I'm performing when I'm supposed to just simply be me. Oh, wow. So because I'm trying to become this thing, I'm forgetting what the real thing is. And the real thing is just being a genuine, nice person. That's what the real thing is. Success makes you forget that. It makes you forget that. You start asking for dumb shit. I need a bunch of Starbursts and I need y'all to cut the corners off. What? You heard me. All red. No corners. I need them in a bowl. No wrappers. If they're not here, I'm not going on stage. Okay, Mr. Hart. Chocolate chip cookies, but do me a favor. Take the chocolate chips out of the cookies. So I want a chocolate chip cookie, but then I want the chocolate chip removed and put in a separate bowl to where I can just eat the chocolate chips. You know we can get you a bag of chocolate chips. Did I fucking ask for that? Take the chips out the goddamn cookies. Yes, sir, Mr. Hart. I want buffalo wings, but I want them fried hard. And I want the goddamn buffalo sauce on the heel of the wing. I don't understand. What the fuck did I just say that was confusing? Put the sauce on the heel, bitch. I like to eat my buffalo wings from the heel first. This is shit that you just start to make up in your goddamn head. Now, no, people, I've never asked for those things. No, I've never wanted to do anything that exaggerated. But I know people that have. I've seen people do things worse. I've seen people run other people through the ringer just because. So the example that I saw made me say to myself, I never want to be that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that. I want to try to be as humble as I possibly can. And God, if I'm ever not doing it, please check me. See, these 15 items, of course, are not just weapons. They are a foundation. They are a personality, an outlook, a way of being, and a window through which you meet the world and it meets you back. If you can just embody these traits alone, your life and relationships will be amazing. This is just simply being a great, effective human being. It's the engine out of which your life springs. But what happens during that life? That is where your training truly begins. Right now, we're going to go on to part 4. Mental fitness. Your training program. Oof. Things are getting tough now. They're getting tough. Here's the problem with advice. It's easy to read, but hard to follow. The reason is because your brain has decades of experience in doing things how you've always done them. It's used to making decisions every moment of the day, but the problem is it's flying on autopilot. All it cares about is maintaining the same altitude and avoiding turbulence. So to change certain behaviors and ways of thinking that are deeply wired in and start flying higher, it takes practice. So that's why it's necessary to move to the training field and start practicing these things and developing new patterns. A flower can't grow from concrete. It needs fertile soil. In the same way, your best life won't grow out of a body that you don't take care of. It can't grow out of a life where you're surrounded by negative people. It can't grow out of time spent in addiction, whether to alcohol or social media. Everything that flows and through your 5 senses can either strengthen or weaken your mental. So it's time to start making strong choices. The better you take care of yourself and the better you feel, the easier it will be for your dreams to take root and grow. The daily. If you want to make the biggest transformation in your life, then change the things that you do every day. Our training begins by just examining your daily life. What you're looking at, who you're talking to, what you're eating,